Good morning. Everybody doing well on this bright, sunshiny day? A little bit of a contrast between yesterday and today, isn't it? Yesterday the wind was blowing and it gave you all some work to do. You got to get out there and get all the leaves that either the rain knocked off the trees or the wind blew off the trees, right? Some of y'all are sitting there just growling at me now. It's not a good way to start off a Sunday morning message, but hey, the sun is shining. That's the S-U-N and the S-O-N, and we are so glad that you're here today at Central Baptist Church to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather in your house. Lord, what a privilege that is. Father, help us not to take for granted the opportunity to do that, to be able to gather with one another, to fellowship with one another. Lord, to gather around your word and to learn from you. Father, I pray that right now you would help us to truly put aside anything that might be of a hindrance that would keep us from being able to receive the message of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. We ask, Father, that you would draw us close to you. And Lord, we also ask that you would help us as we lift you up, that you truly might draw all men unto you. Father, this truly is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father, right now, do what only you can do. Speak to our hearts. Give us courage and wisdom to make adjustments to what it is that you show us. And, Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. There's quite a bit of a change in weather overnight. Very nice. If you will, we're going to start with singing the first Noel, hymn number 85. Please stand with me as we sing. Thank you. Turn to hymn number 93, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Mm-hmm. turn to hymn number 118, What Child Is This? And let me just make a mention of next Sunday evening, the evening of Christmas music at 6 p.m., followed by refreshments. So we're looking forward to that. Hope each of you can be here, and please invite a friend. Thank you. What Child Is This?
Today we're going to be looking at some passages out of Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to those passages. I want to take this moment real quick to call on our chairman of personnel. That's Brent Lombardo. Brent, come on down for just a moment. Let you hear from Brent, and then we'll jump into our scriptures from there.
Thank you. Good morning. This time of year, we like to take a little moment and show appreciation to our staff for everything they've done for us throughout the year, especially during trying times that we've been going through. They're wearing a number of different hats, and still able to provide the gospel to us and help keeping us in line. So with that said, on the behalf of all the members of Central Baptist, I'd like to present the Christmas bonuses to Pastor Roy, to Pastor Miller, I know, who can't be with us, unfortunately, and to Brad. I guess you'll take Pastor Miller. And Miss Debbie, too.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you guys so much. It is it's a pleasure and a privilege to have the opportunity to serve. And those are just some faces that you see a lot. I know Brent mentioned Debbie. If you call the church, Debbie's the person that you're generally talking with and keeps things in line around the office. But there are also a few other folks that you don't see. It takes a lot of moving parts and pieces to bring together not only a Sunday service, but to have the time to be able to do things like right now. There are people who are watching this as a broadcast. That just doesn't happen magically. So there are people who are pushing the right buttons and doing the right things, and I'm not that person. So I'm grateful for people around us who have the opportunity to help us as we go forward and help us to provide a worship service, a worship atmosphere to the best of their ability. We appreciate the work that they have done. So I also want to take this moment to recognize, and on behalf of the church, a little appreciation gift to the following people. Don Wright. Don is actually over in the other building. He is manning the broadcast as it goes out right now. I'm looking at you up there, Don, but I got a little something for you, so don't get away before I have a chance to see you. As well as Tim Wharf. Tim, come on down for just a second. Ernie, come on down for just a second. And also, Jim Kreider. Jim, if you would come on down to the front, I'll give you a chance to see these folks. I know that you see them, but very often you see them in a kind of a position that's behind the scenes or behind the front lines. I mentioned just a moment ago, Don is over there right now in the other building, making sure that our broadcast is going out on Facebook as well as YouTube, and juggling a lot of different things along the way. Ernie, most of you guys know Ernie has been our sound guy for many, many years, as long as I've been here. We appreciate that, as well as his willingness to jump into new technology that I can't even remotely begin to understand when things flash and roll and do all kinds of things like that. But Ernie, we really appreciate you for that. Tim also works with both audiovisual. He works with us on Tuesday to film the Wednesday night Bible study, as well as a lot of things that take place around here in reference to building and grounds, as well as working on the AV piece that you have the opportunity to see here in the church. That all has to be put into the computer. Tim also does our takes care of our website. He's our webmaster. And there's probably a few other hats that I have forgotten to mention, but we certainly do appreciate that. And Jim, as you know, Jim has so faithfully not only been around for years, but Jim is also takes that opportunity to spend his time doing something that he loves to do, that the Lord's given him a gift in. And that is being able to lead our brass. Did I say that the best way? Is that the best way to say it? To lead our brass, our wind ensemble, whatever the best way to say that may be. But we're so grateful for Jim's time, as well as Jim's heart to continue a legacy that was taught to him by his father and continues to this day. So, guys, I just want to say thank you for all that you do. We appreciate you very much so. Got a little something on behalf of the church. Yeah, give him a hand. Ernie, thank you so much, brother. Jim, thank you, buddy. We really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. Those are just a few of the faces that are behind the scenes that often you might see in some ways. I mean, of course, you probably see Ernie and Tim back there as you pass by them, but the sound wouldn't be there if we didn't have that. That piece wouldn't be together. So we're grateful for the way that God has blessed us and gifted us, and then as well with a piece of our music that Jim takes care of with our wind ensemble. And we really appreciate all that you guys do. And that's just a small token of being able to say thank you for what you do. Now, we're going to look at some passages out of Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. I know some of y'all are sitting there thinking, well, it's not time for the Christmas story yet. Well, I'm going to use another aspect of the Christmas story this morning that's not the typical one that you will probably hear the scriptures that come from next week. But I want us to consider for just a moment the situation. I know that we probably have along the way at some place in our lives, but I think this is something that we need to reflect on and visit quite often, particularly as we look at these particular passages and as we go through the various parts of the Christmas story. Now, I want us to go to Luke 2, and let's look at verses 6 and 7, so I'm not going to not going to keep you long, but verses 6 and 7 say this. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, as we consider that particular scriptural passage, we know, and you've heard preached many, many times, the build-up, how the angel went to Mary, and the angel said, "Yeah, you have found favor with God, and you're going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." We have talked about the aspects of what she must have felt like and what she must have gone through during those particular times. The same with Joseph. Joseph, you know, hearing the news, first of all, from Mary. Obviously, we know that Joseph heard the news from Mary first because he was hurt. We know the scriptures tell us that he was going to put her away privately. He could have had her stoned to death in front of the whole city, but he chose not to do that. So his heart was broken. He's hurt. He's going to put her away privately. He gets a visit from the angel that says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, "And all was right with the world." No. Now, as we read this, and we've got hindsight as well as foresight to know how this thing took place and how it progressed, but have you thought for just a moment what it must have been like during Mary's pregnancy? Because we know that I mean, it wasn't that she got the delivery sped up or anything because she was chosen of God. Because that verse that we looked at today, it says, "And so while they were there, the days were completed." Now, I'm no doctor, but I believe that the time is 9 months for a child to be born. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, okay? 9 months. So now you have to consider, and for a moment this morning, I want you to consider what that 9 months must have been like for Mary and Joseph. I want you to consider, because the Word doesn't tell us. The Word doesn't tell us about from the time that she was told that she was going to conceive a child and she would call his name Jesus. It doesn't say what took place in that 9 month span of time until Christ was delivered. Do you think it was an easy life for Mary and Joseph? Do you think that along the way there were some cutting and snide remarks about this young couple? Do you think that there were some even remarks probably made to them besides the looks and the whispers? I believe that there probably were. I believe that there was probably a moment in time when Joseph just looked over at Mary, who was really, really hurt, as they walked down the street and said, "You know, honey, I see, you know, they're over there talking about you, and I know you see it, and it's hurting your feelings, but come on, let's just go. Let's just look the other way and keep on going." See, we don't know about what that was like. All we do know is that everybody had the earthly perspective on what was taking place. You know, I mean, now let's be fair for just a moment. The fairness of the matter would say there had never been a virgin birth before Mary, and there hasn't been a virgin birth after Mary. So you'd have to almost sit back and think. People would say, "Well, I know what was going on in this situation. They just messed up. They didn't do things right." Although knowing the truth, we know that there was no, you know, hanky-panky or monkey business going on or anything else. In fact, the Word tells us, the Word says that Joseph did not know Mary until after she had brought forth her firstborn son. But I'm sitting there wondering what that must have been like. I'm wondering how cruel those around Mary and Joseph were. I wonder how many talks behind their backs had taken place. I wonder how many people had said, "Well, you know what? I never would have expected that from Mary. She was a good girl. I never would have expected her to be in this situation." I wonder how many people looked upon Joseph and if they knew the story, said to Joseph, "Joseph, I would have cut her loose quicker than you could ever imagine. There is no way." You see, the problem was they didn't understand the whole concept of what was going on. All they could see was humanly what was in front of them. So I have this feeling that not only was it a tough life as after Jesus was born, I think it was a tough life along the way before Jesus actually made his appearance on this earth. I think that there were the comments. I think there were the people who talked behind their back. There were obviously people who didn't understand the concept of Jesus. Most of us can remember that the passage in the New Testament where Jesus says that a prophet's not accepted in his own country. See, you got to remember, while Jesus was preaching and teaching in his hometown, there were those who said, "Who is this guy? Is he not a carpenter's son?" See, they still had the earthly concept of who Jesus was. They couldn't buy into the fact that he was the long sought after Messiah. All they looked at and said was, yeah, here was a quote-unquote illegitimate relationship, and now how could he be the prophesied Messiah? See, you can see how an earthly take on a situation can be a really, really bad thing. And you can see how an earthly take on something can be very hurtful and very destructive to those that are involved. I can imagine how many tears that Mary shed over the situation. Not because she had found favor with God. I am sure that she was very blessed because of that. I am sure that she felt very privileged because of that. And I am sure that she was on her face before God in more ways than any of us could ever think about. But I also believe that there were tears that streamed down her cheeks because of the rough time that she went through because she had been chosen by God. Did you get that? Because she had been chosen by God. You know, there are going to be some times in your life that because God has chosen you for a task, a mission, or a project, that there will be tears that will stream down your face. There will be times when God has chosen you for a mission that you will be misunderstood by the majority of the people in your life. The question is, will you be able to maintain? Will you be able to make it through? You see, people still didn't quite understand the Messiah. They just thought that this was an illegitimate type of a situation. Now, we know that God's time and God's timing is perfect in so many ways. At that particular point, you know, and as we'll get into the Christmas story next week, it says that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So it wasn't yet, they didn't have the computers, they didn't have the tax agents, they didn't have electronic filing, they didn't have any of that. So the way they had to do this was they had to journey back to their hometown. Okay? Guess where Mary and Joseph's hometown was? Bethlehem. Where did God say that the Savior would be born? Bethlehem. Y'all are good. Y'all are catching on. So there had to be a way to get them there. So this decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. So they had to go back to their hometown of Bethlehem. And then it says, as we get to the scriptures that we're looking at today, it says, so it was that while they were there, they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. In other words, let me make it plain and simple. While they were there, she went into labor. Okay? Now, you also have to understand that not just Mary and Joseph had to go back. Anybody from Bethlehem had to go back. So there was this tremendous influx of people who had made their way there because of this particular taxing, including Mary and Joseph. Now, Joseph couldn't sit back and say, "Honey, why don't you Google hotel rooms in Bethlehem and see what's available. And by the way, you make sure you get at least a 3-star. That wasn't possible. Yeah, so what happened was, it was one of those situations where when they got there, they just had to look for a place. And the story and history tells us that there was no room for them in the inn. No vacancy. Everywhere they turn, no vacancy. Don't have a place for you. Everything's sold out. All the rooms are gone. We don't have any room for you here. Now, could you imagine that situation? Remember what I said? I said Mary has gone into labor. I mean, now I've never been in labor, but I've seen people in labor before. That can be scary, if you know what I'm saying. It is not a peaceful, tranquil situation. And all God's mamas said, I'm sure y'all heard that. That's not peaceful and tranquil. Now, imagine that you are in labor and you can't find a hotel room. They didn't have any hospitals in those days or anything else. It's just kind of like, Joseph, you better find something because this baby is not on the schedule of whether we find a place to stay or not. This baby's coming now. Find us a place. And we know how the story goes. We know that what happened was they found a place in a stable where there was where there were animals, where there was a manger. And by the way, you know what a manger is? That's an old-timey or nice way to say feed trough. That's what that is. That's where they fed livestock. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, some of us may sit back and wonder, and I often have. I've thought to myself, if somebody came and knocked on my door, and I was the innkeeper. And by the way, you got to remember, inns were usually people's houses. That was kind of like renting a room. And somebody knocked on the door, and here was this lady who was in labor about to give birth. I think I would have a hard time personally turning somebody away, wouldn't you? I mean, for me, I would sit back and think to myself, I think I would have even given up my own room or my own bed in a situation like that, because here was somebody that was in need, and yet that didn't happen. Yet we don't read about that. Now, before we get too hard on people, that was all part of God's plan as well. See, there's two sides to everything. Before we sit back and go, well, I can't believe those people just must have been the most non-sympathetic people in the world. No. God's plan is going to happen God's way with or without you. And this was part of God's plan. Now, it's ironic. Now, we'll pick on them for a little bit. We'll pick on the innkeepers because there had been great crowds who had descended upon Jerusalem because of the taxing. But yet, here was a place that was busy. I am sure that everybody in this room is busy in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I love this. I've heard this so many times when somebody says, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm just so busy. And somebody goes, busy? You're retired. Most retired people have said to me that I need to go back to work to get a break. Because the honey-do list piles up. You've got all these different things that are taking place. You've got all these different things that are going. But everybody is busy. The question is, have we become too busy for the Savior? Now, I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. Have we become so busy that we just plow through? Have we become so in tune to getting ready for traditional Christmas that we're forgetting the real reason why we even celebrate Christmas? You know what? There was no room in the inn for Jesus, and there's no room in many churches for Jesus. There was no room in the end for Jesus, and yet at the same time, we've got people who profess to be believers, but yet they just can't seem to make time for Jesus. Is that you? Is that you today? You can't make time for Jesus. You are so, listen, if your work schedule is as such that you don't have time for Jesus, you need to find a new job. If your event schedule is so busy that you cannot find time for Jesus, then you need to clean your event schedule up and take some things out of it. Now, I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm not talking about just today. I didn't ask you about coming to church. I'll hammer you on that one in a little bit. But I'm asking you about making time for Jesus daily. Not just blow in on Sunday and, you know, sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and smile at everybody and then go on out different than you came in. No, no, no. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the every day when you get up and you opened your eyes and you realize it is a blessing of God and that your life still has purpose. And it does, because if it didn't, He would carry you on home to be with Him. It is every day thanking God for the bounty and the blessings that are around us. It is every day getting into His Word that He might speak to you and you might listen to Him. Now, how do we stack up there? Now, I know we fight that battle. Well, you know what? I read a chapter in my Bible today. Good. How did you make it applicable to your life today? You see, because I'm convinced that Jesus and the Word in you changes you. It changes your heart. It changes your thoughts. It changes your process. It changes the way you feel. And you see, Jerusalem was so busy, or Bethlehem was so busy, they didn't have time for Jesus. The innkeepers are like, nope, no vacancy. Somebody else has got that room. They're paying a premium price. These people don't look like they got any money. You might want to try down the street down there. I think go down to the corner and turn left, second house on the left. They might have something. Maybe. Place was too busy for the Savior. So this morning, my challenge for each and every one of us is to evaluate our schedules. And if we are too busy for Jesus, then we need to make some adjustments. There was great business to be done. They saw the opportunity of the tax. Most of us know there are opportunists. You know, if you've ever been around, I mean, you'll see that hotel rooms vary in price depending on what's taking place. You ever notice that? Same hotel room you could get for $100 a night somewhere is $400 a night when there's a special event that's taking place in town. You know, hey, grab the opportunity. Grab the business opportunity. And yet there was no room for Jesus. Folks, salvation is more important than sales. Plain and simple. Eternity is more important than earnings. Peace with God is more important than profit. And the Master is more important than money. I think sometimes we've got to take the proper perspective. And the perspective is this: life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away. You ever thought about that for a moment? You know, I'm old-timey in some ways. I still like to perk my coffee. Anybody else perk your coffee? Hallelujah. My kind of people. Rest of you are going, no, my Mr. Coffee don't perk. No, I like coffee perked, like the old days. And I can sit there and watch as that coffee perks and a little, that wisp of steam that comes out of the spout on it, and it just goes, and it's gone. Imagine when it gets cold outside and you go out there and you go, and you can see your breath and you blow it out, and then it's gone. When the breath is out and gone, it's gone. Do you realize that your life here on earth is like that vapor? That's how quickly it goes compared to all of eternity. So why is it that we put so much stock in the here and now and not so much stock in the eternal hereafter after? Jesus isn't going to care when you stand in front of Him about how busy you were. He is not going to care about the opportunities that you had. And he's not going to care about your bank account. He's not going to care about your job. The only thing he's going to care about are the things that have been done for the sake of the kingdom when all is said and done. There's a lot of rich people that are going to be very poor when they enter into the kingdom of heaven. They will stand there with nothing to be able to present to the Father. Remember what the Bible tells us? It says that all of our works and deeds are going to be tried by fire. I've shared with you before that to me, I always have gotten this picture since the time I was little, that as you get there, it's kind of like going through security at the airport. Except you're going to put everything in your life, your works, your deeds, and everything on that conveyor belt that's going to go through that x-ray machine. Except it's not an x-ray machine. It's a furnace. And you know how you put all your stuff on there, and then you either stand there and do this, and that thing goes, or you walk through, or they wand you, or whatever. And if the thing doesn't go off, you go over there, and you anxiously await what's going to come out the other end of that x-ray machine, because supposedly it's going to be your stuff. So imagine what that'd be like in heaven. All the works and deeds that go through, and the only thing that comes out is a little pile of ash. All of a sudden, those extra financial opportunities didn't matter. Now, by the way, folks, I'm not saying that we don't have to live. I'm not saying that God doesn't give us opportunity, but I'm talking about the proper perspective of it. You know, the title of this particular message based on right there is, there was no room in the inn. Is there room in your heart for Jesus? Is there room? Or do you shove him out for other things and just drag him in when you need him? Do you shove him out and leave him sitting outside the doorpost? Or do you even put him out in the barn because there's no room in the nicety of your life for Jesus? This is a time to evaluate that. Folks, we shouldn't have to do that just at Christmas time. That should be each and every day of our life. Do we make room in the end of our life for our Savior, Jesus Christ? There was no room for Jesus in the homes of the people of Bethlehem, which were the inns. There was no room for Jesus in the social life of those of Bethlehem. You know, I've said this before. Yeah, is Jesus a part of your life? Does your life every day reflect Jesus? Does your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday life reflect the life that you're living as you've walked in these doors today? Have you made room for Jesus? Have you made room for what Jesus tells us? By the way, Jesus tells us that to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, like today. Have we purposely allowed life to crowd out our times and our moments and our opportunities of coming together as a body of believers? Have we let economic success or failure determine whether or not we are faithful to give back to Him what He has blessed us with? By the way, these are not suggestions of the Father. These are commands of the Father. I love it. Are we discipling each other? Are we learning from one another? Or are we just trying to do one thing bigger and better than we did before? Are we trying to do it with glitz and glitter? Yeah, I'm an old movie guy. I like movie quotes. Anybody who knows me knows that. You've probably heard them 1,000 times somewhere in the course of conversation. And you ever remember the Indiana Jones, the one where he was after the Holy Grail? Remember that one? And he goes in there, and the bad guy actually goes out there, and he has to pick the cup off the table. When he picks the most beautiful, ornate, high-dollar, most expensive cup that's on the table, which was the wrong one. And then old Indiana Jones is thinking about it, and he said, nah, he was a simple man. He was a carpenter. So of all those ornate, beautiful cups over there, he reaches over and he picks up the plain, simple wooden cup. And the knight says, he chose wisely. How much glitz and glitter are we grabbing after? Are we going after the stuff that's all glittery? Are we extending and moving away from the Lord because we've run into some hard times or some people have said some things about us or we don't want somebody to say something about us? I want you to picture Joseph and Mary during the 9 months of her pregnancy along the way. The talk, the backbiting, the bitterness, all these different things that Mary must have had to endure. Not only, you know, after she had heard the word, she endured them through her pregnancy, she endured them through her life as Jesus walked on the face of this earth, and she endured them even amidst his crucifixion. I want to talk to Mary someday, don't you? I want to ask her about that. But say, how did you really, really feel when all that was going on? And yet some of us know people who don't bat an eye when it comes down to it. I wish I had a little bit more of that in me. Yeah. I don't want to say a straight up I don't care, but you know what? How many of y'all in here get your feelings hurt pretty easy? Okay, yeah. Somebody says something or snaps at you or whatever, hurts your feelings. It takes a while to get over that, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, it takes a little while to get through that. I mean, even though what they've said may not be true or right, we take it in that sort of way. We take it on a personal level. We take it on a personal basis. Now, the question is, what does that do? Does that mean we're going to quit at that point? How many times have you thrown your hands up and said, I'm done, I quit. I'm just walking away. I'm going to give you a comment that most of you all probably could better give me. But I'm going to give it to you because I'm up here. And here it is. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was simple, everybody would walk that way. It is difficult to live a Christian life in this world today. Amen? It's not impossible, but it's difficult. Will you be like Mary? Will you be able to keep your head held high? I can only imagine there had to have been at some point that Mary said, everybody thinks that I have been in this immoral person and I have not. God, why don't you just make them vaporize in front of me? Don't tell me you've never considered or made a prayer like that. Lord, you know the truth. I want you to vaporize them. I want to just see them go up in smoke right now. Remember, I've said this and shared it many times. David prayed a prayer like that in Psalm 55. He was asking God to send his enemies alive to hell. Don't even kill them. Send them to hell alive. Don't we want to do that sometimes? Sure we do. But the Lord said, I got this. Are you more so trying to please him or him? With our thoughts and our actions. There was no room for Jesus in the social lives of the people of Bethlehem. But there was plenty of room for business. There was plenty of room for profit. There was plenty of room for everything else. How perfectly does this text fit our lives today? My question is, have we made room in our hearts for Christ? The word tells us, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know how often I consider what that must have been like. I don't know what the climate was at that time of the year. I do know what a barn looks like. I grew up a country boy. I know what the inside of them looks like. And I could see Mary taking her baby and wrapping him up as best she could. It says, and laid him in a manger, the feed trough. the place where she could draw a breath, a place where she could relax after this long, hard delivery and just look upon the face of the Savior and thank God for a healthy baby, for a wonderful delivery. You know, I believe with all my heart that joy flooded every ounce of who Mary and Joseph were at that particular point. Even amidst the hardships, they were still in a barn. She's still weary. She still had to travel. She still had to give delivery. But the payoff at the end was worth it. You see where I'm going with this, right? Living the life for Jesus, the payoff in the end is worth it. Because this life is going to end. The afterlife never will. I would rather do what I could do right now for Jesus and spend all of eternity. I want to be able to have something come out the other side of the furnace to be able to say, Lord, here are the crowns. I want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm going to say, Lord, these are yours. These are gifts that I can offer at your feet. You think that the things of your life are going to come through the furnace and there will be some significance on the other end that will be a treasure that you could present at the feet of Jesus as a gift. It's not too late. If you're hearing me today, if you're watching this, it's not too late. The Lord is a God of forgiveness through repentance. It's time for us to refocus. Have you ever had to do that? I've had to do that. You ever had to kind of refocus, revisit your purpose? And sit back and say, look, man, this is not what I started out to be. I know how to do it. Lord, starting right now, I am going to make room for you. If my schedule's too busy, I'm going to clean it up. If there's too many things that are pushing you out, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to make sure that when I walk into my church that I'm there to hear and to learn from you, not just to pass the time. I want to walk out of here different than when I came in because the Lord has spoken to me in His place. Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want to draw close to you. I want you to change my life. Is that us? It can be if it's not. First of all, I ask you, is He your Savior? I know He calls me by name. That's one of the greatest. I love that so much. That when I say, my Heavenly Father, He says, yes, Roy. He doesn't say, yes, you who pastor at Central Baptist Church. He doesn't say, yes, you, husband of Jana, father of Blake. He calls me by name because He knows me by name. Have you trusted Him? Have you given your heart to Him? Have you surrendered to Him? Whatever term you want to use. Are you saved? Whatever term you want to use. If not, the Lord is knocking on your heart's door today. And He says, will you surrender? I'm not going to force my way into your life. This is voluntary. You have to surrender it to me. But if you do, I'll take it and make something special from it. Or will you go away from here today saying, nope, don't have room for you, Lord. Don't have room for you in my schedule. I'm just going to add you on when I can. I'll just add on religious stuff when I can. Oh, I'll pray at supper. I can play the part really, really well. Is that you? He doesn't want that to be you today. He wants the sincere heart. And oh, here's the really cool part. He knows the sincerity of your heart. I don't, man does not, but let me promise you this, God knows every fiber, every cell, and every atom of your life. He knows when you think you're trying to pull the wool over His eyes. How many people will have the opportunity to see Him that will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Because not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, I'm not preaching works salvation, but what happens is the change in our heart should show forth the works that the Lord would have us to do according to His word. Do you need Jesus today? If that's you, I'm just simply going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes as our musicians make their way into place for our invitation. And just simply say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name. Now, if you did that and you met that with the sincerity of your heart, God knew that. And He has saved you. Now it's about drawing close to Him, getting to know Him, having a real relationship with Him. Will you do that? Listen, if that's you, then I'm just simply going to ask that you let us know during the time of invitation. We want to celebrate with you. If you're part of our online audience, you know, leave a comment. Contact our church through the website. Contact me. We want to just help get you some information to help disciple you along the way of your journey. Maybe you're here today, and man, you have been stone cold busted, as they say. God just got a hold of you and shook you around a little bit. And He said, come on, man, this is not it. It's not about playing a charade. It's not about a facade. He knows every one of His children present in this place, those that are watching. He knows you. And He knows your heart. And He's dealing with your heart right now. The question is, will you surrender to His calling in your life? Oh, yeah, you may know Him. You may be a believer. But what is it that He has told you today? Has He said to you, how about letting me come in? So far, you've told me that there's no room in your life for me, except on Sunday. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine your parents telling you the only time that you could come in the house was on Sunday? Oh, and just for an hour. Not much of a relationship, is it? Is that you today? If it is, and the Lord has dealt with your heart, you can just simply, in prayer, say, Lord, I realize today I haven't made room in the end of my life for you. Help me clean it up. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. I surrender. I'm coming home. Lord, help me strive to hear the words from you. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you did that, then I can make you this promise that the Lord has taken your transgressions and thrown it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So how will you act on it? How will you react with it? What is it that God is telling each of us today? As we take this moment to sing our invitation hymn, I'm asking you to deal with the Lord in the way that He has dealt with you, that as you go away from here, you do so with peace in your heart and forgiveness. If you need me, I'm here. If you've trusted Christ, please let me know. We want to celebrate. Our church family wants to celebrate. If you're making a return to Him, I'm here if you need me to pray with you. But if not, please, please don't leave this place the same as you came in. As we stand, as we sing, you do business with God.
I will ever love and trust Him.
with him, he is dealing with you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. What is your answer to him this very day? Make it right with him and make it now. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Amen. As we go to the Lord in a word of prayer in regard to our offering today, I want to remind folks that we are entering in. Today is the first day of our in-gathering for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That is to support foreign missions. These funds go to keep our missionaries on the field. We will be having our in-gathering over the next couple of weeks. Today, if you are prepared to give to the Lottie Moon offering, we just ask that you put that in the offering plate, marked Lottie Moon. We will make sure that it gets there. But for the next couple Sundays, be prepared. If you haven't had an opportunity to do so yet, ask the Lord, pray about what it is that he would have for you to give in the way of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. If you're prepared today, you can just drop that in as the plate comes around. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. We're grateful, we're thankful for the provision. Lord, all good things come from you. Each and everything that we have comes from you. And Lord, you ask so little back. Help us to be faithful in returning to you the tithe and the offering. Lord, we pray that you will touch our hearts in regard to those who don't know you on the foreign field. Lord, we pray that you would lead us to a gift that you would have us to give to keep our missionaries on the field and to keep your word going out, that others may come to know you and that the kingdom may be enhanced. So Lord, bless us. Help us to be wise in using your tithe and offering that your kingdom may be furthered, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get you out here, just as a reminder, this evening after our Bible study is our monthly church conference or church business meeting following Bible study this evening. Next Sunday, which is the 19th, we will have a night of music and refreshments here at the church. Don't forget, listen, come be a part of that. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex. That's a vestibule for you country people. Please be sure to sign up for that so that we will know how many to prepare for, and that way we'll know what we need to get together. Be sure to come and join us for that, a night of Christmas music and refreshments right here, 6 o'clock p.m. next Sunday evening. And then also as a reminder, we will be having our Christmas Eve communion services. That is going to be at 6 o'clock and at 6:30. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with that, it's just a moment that we take on Christmas Eve where you, if you come to the 6 o'clock, you'll be out by 6:15. If you come to the 6:30, you'll be out by 6:45. It's not a preaching message. It's a service. It's a communion service. But that is designed for us to focus on the reason why we celebrate the Christmas season. So just come by. Listen, if you've got friends or family in, bring them with you. You know, that's the whole thing. People sit back. Sometimes people say, well, I came from out of town and I didn't have a suit. Well, I'm not going to be wearing a suit either. Just come on down. Come as you are. All right? Say that with me. Come as you are. See, now you heard it. All y'all out there in TV land heard it from come as you are. Just a few minutes for us to focus on the true reason why we celebrate Christmas. 6 o'clock, if you show up at 6, probably by 6:15 you'll be out. If you show up at 6:30, by 6:45 you'll be out. But help us to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Let's do that as a church family along with our other families. Like Brad said a minute ago, if you want to bring somebody to the night of music, bring them with you. Just let us know so we make sure we got plenty for them to eat. Okay? Anything I've missed? There probably is. Okay, if not, we'll figure it out later. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll look forward to gathering once again in the house of the Lord as He allows us. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for this opportunity today. Lord, I pray that as we search our hearts, that we truly find that we are making room in the inn for you. Lord, life is so short, but just a vapor that appeareth for a short while. Eternity, we can't even fathom. Infinity, we don't understand. But Lord, we will spend infinity with you. So I pray that we will prepare for that while we were here. May we be instruments in your hand. May we be usable to you to bring the kingdom to somebody else. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hope you have a great day.